It's February 21st, 2017, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. Coming to you live from the Santa Cruz Mountains of California, from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
I'm Errol Strider.
And I'm Rochelle Alicia Strider, catching up. We welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and all its insanity.
And we want to share some water with them, all the wetness from all the rain.
We will. I haven't gotten there yet, dear.
All right.
Sprinkled with laughter. We're going to be here laughing, always laughing. Good music, and the music is good tonight. And the many voices of Errol Strider.
We got this voice, and we got this voice, and we got that voice over here, as well as this voice here. Okay, our show is sponsored by our good friend Jeremy Bead. He's our spirit brother and fellow artist. And Go Raw, 100% raw food that not only tastes good, but is, check this out, good for you. How often do you get that combo? Good and good for you. Think about the things that you go that's going to taste good, for example, and tell me if it doesn't have either grease or sugar or carbohydrates in it.
It does have that because there's nuts, and nuts have lots of oils and so fatty, delicious things that we like so much. And fruit that is full of sugar.
That's right.
So the truth is it's exactly what we like, but it's healthier for you, the sugar in fruit. And the fat in nuts.
It's because the sugar in fruit gets a special blessing by the fruit blessing guy before it leaves the plant.
I told you we'd laugh a lot.
No. They use rabbis.
I want to get right to what we're doing. Okay.
All right, well, let's get to it then. I'm as ready to get to it as the next guy. Here's what I'd like to say about it. We have a lot of commotion tonight. We didn't even think we were going to be able to do this show up until 2 minutes before it started because we had outages here. Things are outaging everywhere here.
We have a large yurt here at Lupin, and it's got a skylight, a big skylight.
Not that big a skylight.
Anyway, it blew off last night. We had these gusts of wind. They just came up. You could almost hear them coming up to your house. It was like, shh. And they got bigger and bigger, and then you could feel things moving and branches falling, and it was very nerve-wracking.
They came in the same van. I saw them get out. Okay, here's where I want to jump in tonight. There's a lot of saying going on.
And none of it's sooth.
None of it's sooth. I hadn't thought of that. But when it gets right down to it, who's to say? This is why we have chosen the phrase, who's to say, as our featured phrase of the week. Of course, there's the media saying all sorts of things. And there's our president saying a bunch of stuff.
Especially about the media.
And there are numerous voices in our own heads that are going out of their way to say things about who we are, what's real, what to do, how to avoid pain, and how to get some pleasure. But again, who's to say? Perhaps another way to pose the question is to ask, who is the voice of authority? Or what is the voice of authority recommending today?
God, help us.
Often, it is the strident voice of pain, which can be very urgent and won't be stifled. On the other hand, who's to say that the most authoritative voice isn't that still, small voice within that continues to speak and remind us of our higher nature? Or perhaps, and more specifically, our authoritative nature. Well, during tonight's conversation, we're going to look at the question of who's to say and see if we can find out. And as we usually do, Rochelle and I will start off by saying numerous things which occur to us to say, and then we'll see if we can get to the essence of what this is all about, because essence would be greater by now. So, whether it comes from news, pundits, our parents, lovers, or children, or from some other benign presence often referred to us, maybe God even, they're always bidding for their right to be the who of who's to say.
Of course, the real who doesn't have to bid. Well, who is to say? I mean, you know, we all have something to say. Some of us say it softly and others loudly. And some of us say it publicly. But what do we say when we say what we say? And does the who play a significant role in what is being said? I mean, if you're in the public eye, everyone's listening. Sometimes it doesn't matter what you say. If you are the one, big one, saying it. But when the who is listened to, and the who really has something to say that is edifying, inspiring, and meaningful, then who's to say what we have to say?
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To run before you walk, you got to scream before you talk, and it won't hurt to play before you work, and who's to say anyway? You've got to question anybody who gives a lecture.
Who's to Say, by a group called Jonestown. And I'm looking at the cover of their album. I think the title of the album is Cast of Idiots, but they're called Jonestown. And the picture is like of a whole bunch of people holding little cups of what I assume is, what is it they took that they killed themselves?
Kool-Aid. The Jonestown.
Yeah, so this picture of all these people. I don't know if they're the real people or not, but...
No, they're not the real people. They're just a picture.
There's always some version of Jonestown going on.
I don't think anybody, even if they're a certain age, know what Jonestown is.
But there's always a version. Just bear with me here.
Okay.
Because what is Jonestown about? It's about giving your power away.
Even...
will lead you astray.
We can judge that man as that, but... that man's need for power is so great that he will subjugate a whole bunch of people to get it. And the thing is that because the true bearer of love knows he has power, he doesn't have to get it from anybody. He just has to give it.
Because he eats at Whole Foods.
If you think you can hear anything serious on this show, take it seriously. You're wrong.
Here, I want to take this seriously. You said power. I had this fascinating insight about myself and power the other morning. I was meditating. I had written this line that I wanted to share with the world that says, you want to make change, you have to change yourself. There's something about you that needs to be changed. It's very specific. It's not a general thing. So I stopped and asked, what about me needs to be changed?
It was so long.
Well, I was going to say the first thing was, well, you should change your underwear more often.
And, no, then,
and then I said, but I don't wear underwear. I live in a nudist colony. Yeah, but in the winter, isn't it cold? Don't you like, doesn't your butt get cold?
Errol,
well, that's what I wear underwear.
I can't believe you're doing this.
Okay, this is what I realized
funny.
I was asking the question, what do I need to recognize? And what came up for me was, it's not about power, it's about control. And that the wealthy, those who are taking up so much of the wealth, are gaining control because fundamentally, at a deep level, we know we are completely out of control in our life. I'm rereading The Denial of Death by Ernest Becker, and you know, he references all these great psychologists and psychoanalysts talking about the narcissistic complex and the death complex and the chocolate chip ice cream conflicts.
That's the one I got.
Not necessarily in that order. So I realized the wealthy, that's just a particular way of trying to get and maintain control against the inevitable collapse of how you've concocted yourself. You'll get more and more and more and more all addiction. Then I saw myself try and achieve control by going in the opposite direction. To get smaller and smaller, if I keep it really small, if I keep myself small, if I keep my world small, then I can control it. But I saw that it was the same need to be in control, because there's this illusion / delusion, and I'm glad they made them rhyme because I can put them in a song, that if we're in control, somehow we can continue
escape
to make ourselves
death.
That. It's always that.
It's really interesting how much time and energy we put into keeping ourselves alive when it's the one thing we can't keep forever. You can know a lot of things, but anything material is going to go bye-bye.
Well, that's what made me want to see if there was something else.
I know.
When I was 23 years old, because I saw that it's a very brief time any of us is here. Even a long life is...
Oh, God, yes.
There
calendar.
Were lots of long lives that were lived before now. They've been, and they've also come and gone. So it's facing up to this question that is crucial. I read once that until you have begun to contemplate your own demise, you haven't really contemplated it.
I think if you haven't contemplated your own demise, you cannot contemplate life.
Some people live a constipated life. No, you know these people. They're constipated.
I totally understand what you mean. I got the metaphor.
But they can't get it out. They're constipated with the reality of who they are. I'm going to go out on a limb here, folks, and bear with me, but...
You're always going out on a limb.
It's a new limb. It's a limb that's got dust barely budding green shoots
okay,
about to come
go
out.
Go right out on.
We are love. That's who we are. That's what life is. That's what it's made of. In spite of appearances to the contrary, which might look at life and go, wow, it's pretty rough and tumble, which raised the question in me today, does evolution make it easy or hard to evolve?
And what did evolution have to say to you,
well,
sir?
It goes back to this control thing. I want to finish this thought. When we realize it's about control, and I saw it in myself, control it by keeping it small, I can see in others control it by making it big, and variations therein. And so you have to recognize that that's the impulse. You have to wake up to that in your behavior and be willing to cop to it in order to begin to actually shift. Because the decay has to be exposed. Is a decaying, dying carcass there, which is your past that you're still trying to reference and hold on to, trying to drag it into the future, and it's dying and getting smellier every day.
Yeah. We have to put that into the equation of our life, and if we don't have a life well lived, because we're always in a delusion. And in order to be in the reality beyond time and space, we have to be willing to include death in the equation of life.
Yeah, we do. And that's why it's so important to give ourselves space to do that. Let me see if I can help you with this song.
Benjamin, I ran away, and I make no excuse, 'cause any man on any day will get the hell out from a noose. There never was a person made for some other person's use. In your arms and almost tame, I rattled myself loose. If I had held out there, if I was willing to belong to you, who's to say?
Again, who's to say, but this time by Lizzie Snell. It reminds me of the play I did, The Rainmaker, the musical version 110 in the Shade, where I played this character, Starbuck. He says, I gave myself my name. He says, I needed a name with the power of a man and the whole sky in it. Starbuck. Now there's the name. Anyway, he's trying to make love with this woman who calls herself...
I love the way you love certain characters and share them with us.
He's trying to woo Lizzie, and he wants to get her to change her name. Something more romantic. I mean, this is a guy who lives in his head as romance. He's a rainmaker. He goes around the country and cons people out of giving him money to make
it
rain.
He's an illusionist.
But he believes in it. He's trying to convince Lizzie to change her name, so he tells her, change it to Melisande. And then he starts this wonderful song. I won't go into the song, but...
I'm glad you won't go into the song.
But I got to sing it, and it's from 110 In the Shade. If you want to hear the song about Melisande, go to that musical. In the meantime, I want to come back to this death thingy that seems to want to just jump out and take over at some point with everything.
May I say something? Okay.
You're asking? You
have
to ask me?
You're in the middle of something.
No.
When you were talking about power and control, you were talking about those these things. My hands opening up so wide. There's so much energy going on in my body. That's power. At the same time, condensing it all and trying to hold on to it as much as you can. Try doing that as you're pulling closer to something. That has energy too. So that's how easily they can get confused.
What can get confused?
Power I get confused. And control. Real power is so open, and it has energy as a result of the openness. The power that has a need to control is creating energy in the controlling, that you want more of it.
This is Rabbi Greenberg. If I could step in here and make a comment, control, not control, letting go, the great story about the sacrifice and that the lamb that our boy Jacob was supposed to make, and then sacrificed his firstborn, and it's God's way of saying that whatever you think you have in form that you love, you're going to have to let it go. You have to be willing to let it go. The beautiful thing about the rest of the story is, what did he find? The thing he loved the most, he got to continue to bestow love on it because its sacrifice wasn't required. And that's what I think people need to see. We can have who we are. We don't have to accept limitations put into our own mind about who we are, because after all, who's to say?
Yeah, who's to say?
I mean, really, who's to say about
me?
Anything?
I have to say something about everything. I sometimes feel like a child in the sense that when you see something, like a drop of water on a leaf, and you see it with fresh eyes, it's so exciting. And thoughts come into my head, and they're like that. They're like just exciting because they've come into my head, and I can see them. And I've never thought that exactly that way before.
That's because we've used the delusion inducement drug, which we're now offering here at the Strider House. We continue to eat it every day, which is how and why we continue to delude ourselves. But better us than having to inflict delusion on others. After all, they've got enough delusion of their own that has to be sustained. Who's to say? Anyway,
what do you mean they? We.
What I want to suggest is that there's a lot of interest and focus on the ways that the society is breaking up. And I listened to a wonderful talk by Bill Moyers, which I highly recommend listening to. Basically describing this problem, and I read these other guys, Michael Greer and Chomsky, I've been reading all this stuff, and they all kind of bring you right up to that same cliff.
What to do about it?
The one thing they all seem to have in common, and I would include me and this bunch of us who are sitting there with our mouth open, we're wanting to say, and then we all say it together, everybody who's standing up there, and we yell together, who's to say?
And this booming voice comes out of the clouds. I am that I am. Just rewrote that.
Well, because he went to the tree, he didn't really say, I am that I am, but it was translated that way. It really said, who are you? And the voice said, who's to say? Thank you, Rabbi, for jumping in there with that. That was good. Speaking of the void, I wrote a poem called The Void, which was one of the many poems I wrote when I considered death. I've got a bunch of them, and there are a bunch of lively ones in there, too. But the subject's always the same. It's confronting my own demise. Oh, I hate that thought. But not as much as my ego hates it. Boy, it really hates it. Okay, this is The Void. It looms before me like some amorphous monster, that unknown, non-place, non-thing, non-being, beyond the opaque familiar. So I hide in my pain. At least I know what that's all about. Anything to avoid that might not be anything state, that might not even be a state. I'm getting to the funny part.
That's the funny part.
Oh, that was the funny part. Yeah, that was a big laugh line. Okay. In case you missed it, you can laugh now. Or just go on to this.
Go on.
All right, here we go. I clutch my old car and furniture, burn holes in my rug with the same old brand. Ask to be thrown a line from a waiting ship before I leave this sinking one. Prove to me clearly, if you can, that something exists on the other side of that fog. Yeah, they said Jesus came back from the void. But you can't be sure. Hell no, I won't kill myself. This is it. This is what I've got. I don't care if it is exploding. Don't you dare unplug me.
Oh, wow. Especially in view of today, you know, the artificial intelligence and everything, that we are plugged in. The metaphor is taking it to a mechanical thing, plugged into God, but then artificial intelligence is a being that's plugged into energy, electricity.
Back to the question of what do we do in the face of this imminent demise? Of course it's imminent demise. Everything comes and goes.
Do you remember reading The Thorn Birds? There's a scene where the young Jesuit, his son, who is a priest, the priest's son, rescues these two girls in the ocean and knows that he won't be able to swim back and just surrenders to the sea. It was just that moment of surrender. It touched me very deeply. I remember when I had the cancer and I prayed more than anything that I wished to die in joy and not die in fear.
I went on trying to get her one of those candy bars and thought, well, if she can't get to the real joy, she could have an almond joy.
Or a Joy's bar.
Or a Joy's bar, which is Rochelle's favorite thing.
If anybody's listening out there knows where you can get Joy's bars, I have my source has run out and I love them so much.
So we're all standing at the hillside. I want to get back to that point. All those of us who are seeing clearly and thoughtfully and critically enough, all these people that I listen to, from a place of depth and experience, they all, each in their own way, have gotten themselves right up to the cliff overlooking oblivion. Say, you see it down there? And they're all talking to each other. Yeah, pretty much, I can see it. That brings me back to this fabulous metaphor from a movie, Indiana Jones. He's looking for the Holy Grail, and he's told to go into this tunnel to get something, to get whatever it is. He was after, I don't know, a sandwich. I don't know what it was.
Okay.
There was a chasm, and it was this gnarly kind of stone wall on the other side, and there was this huge chasm below. The knight who sent him that way had told him something. Whatever it was, it made him step out into that void, into what appeared like nothing, to find that there was a stone bridge that exactly had blended into the wall before him so that he couldn't recognize it. So there does come a point where you have to surrender and hope. If you get to some faith, I love faith.
I like faith, but I also like to have it with whipped cream because I love whipped cream.
Well, you love the love, darling. But who's to say that love doesn't sound just like this?
Across the street, we smile every time we meet. He doesn't think like me, and so we tread cautiously. But when I see him with his family, you know he loves like I do, cares like I do, hurts like I do. He's just like me and you. For so long, embrace to
Jane Law is singing Who's to Say? We have so much to say because I think I found out who's to say and I wanted to report.
Okay, who's to say?
Why couldn't it be Professor Schnitzel? Who's to say? I asked him, would you be willing to be the who and the who's to say? Oh, yeah. I could be a who. I was a who in an earlier lifetime before I became a who. My life goes back to when I was a when. I was a why. And then before that, I was a what. Then before that, I was a what for. These were the stages I finally got up to when I became a who. But this is various stages of reincarnation, which I don't believe in anyway. But if I did believe in it, it would start with what for and move right on up to what, why, where, when, and who. And who is the who is to say. So if someone is saying something to you and you ask them what they're saying, and they say something like, whatever it is, all you have to say back to them is, who's to say? They're giving you a great tool that you can use in the office and with your wife and with your politicians. And they say something to you and just say, try it. Try this experiment. Say tomorrow to someone when they say something, say to them, who's to say?
Okay.
After all,
and
who's
to
say? That
was our commercial for the evening. We're sponsored by Who's to Say. And you now know why Who's to Say is such a marvelous product.
There are a lot of songs called Who's to Say. I found a bunch and I wanted to give you a taste of them. So back to the subject at hand. I listened to somebody today on talking about American democracy. And before our country, essentially, we went from the ruler was the law to the laws are the law.
And no one is above the law.
And here we are in a situation with the way we've set up our laws, the Constitution and all the zillion decisions that has been voted by Congress and them for centuries.
Well, whatever they are, the laws.
Right now, our structure for the laws is really groaning. It's really being tested. Would you not say that, Senator Beauregard? Tested. My God, this is going to be as tested as it was in 1864. That's right, because we've got still have the issue of slavery that we have not fully dealt with. We've just buried it under the illusion. Is that what y'all said earlier? The illusion that somehow we got it all together. As long as we got our cell phones and can sit on our butts and watch 4 to 6 hours of TV every night. I'd say that it's time to break that system and point of view up. Life comes along and kind of throws a grenade down your belief system and there just blows it apart. And that's pretty much what people are going to have to get used to now because we pretty much committed to going over the edge of the canyon. But how we get down there as we're going, if we can remember to enjoy the view, it'll make it just a lot more fun, so to speak. Thank you, Senator.
Well, so to speak, Senator. Mm-hmm. It made set a lot of thoughts in motion, you know, the sense of like you and Errol both have used the phrase that were the precipice or what was it, the end of something, you know. The truth is that that is exactly what happens every day of our lives. Right. No matter who may seem to be in power or not, we're always at the precipice. And we always have a choice to build from that precipice or to go out in fear, really be scared about the precipice, and then we stop being who we are.
We talked about this a week or two ago, but fear as an agency that we've been given our animal nature was just supposed to be like a quickie, in and out. Boop, get afraid, get away, jump on the guy, and be done with it.
It just threatened our corporeal being, and we, damn right, we wanted to survive.
But we become the fear.
We seem to.
It's like we become petrified. You know what happens? Make something petrified, don't you? Scary shit. Think about petrified stone. It was a bunch of stone kind of walking separate down a trail one day in their own like little world, looking at their own little stone version of their telephone.
And they looked
telephone.
At the politics of 2017, and they became petrified.
The stoners.
I thought the...
Well, that too. Speaking of that, I want to get back to this chasm. Listener, O ye listener, I wonder if you would be willing to take a little look inside there and see what's doing, Ezra shows.
You want to petrify people?
No, I can't petrify them. I can only pretend to petrify them. Only the shadow knows.
I tell you something.
What?
When we spend a lot of time with doom and gloom and this is all going to happen, I think it affects our ability to be creative. It's like seeing something and going, ha-ha, okay, what can I do about that? That moves you into creativity. But when you constantly see it and constantly see it, it becomes a habit and you just can't do anything about it. All you can do is see it.
Pretty much. But you know what Pat Green has to say about that?
No, I don't, but I'd like to know.
Here we go.
My shirt tucked in, I like a little barbecue on Sunday. Well, I hang out with the brother crowd. You drink too much, talk too loud, but don't you know that it's all right with me? Yeah, I don't go to church too much, but I know that Jesus truly loves me. And if he was here, I'd be drinking beer and hanging out and saving all of my friends. Hey, man, who's to say? Who are you to judge me anyway? This is my road. I take the corner as fast as I can go. Who's to say how I got so lucky? Never.
I love the fact that you found all these songs that start with Who's to Say?
Well,
when we're doing the show. But I mean, who's to say?
In case I forget to mention it, no matter which direction you're going down into the chasm, or with how many other people or by yourself, whatever, one thing I can definitely recommend, because it's something I try and use all the time, and that is laughter. Laughter really helps to smooth, because you're going down kind of a bumpy thing.
You see, you're funny, but you don't laugh. I laugh at you.
That's true.
So that's the other part of it. If you're not making jokes, I mean, if you're not laughing at something, you make the joke to make somebody else laugh at it.
That's the least I can do.
Well, that's good. As long as there's laughter, I don't even care who it emanates
from. No, as long as somebody's laughing, even if I'm
and you appreciate it.
I do appreciate it.
See, that's the most important thing, and that
makes it.
Speaking
of laughter, I share this with our listeners, and that is, you know, I edit these shows and I take the laughter out of Rochelle's laughter.
And
I do. I put it up on my mantelpiece and I have it all laid out, all her different laughters for many, many shows.
Oh,
and I light a candle and then I put them on and it's Rochelle laughing. You know, from like 30 shows.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll sell you that. You know, you can buy it for me. Rochelle laughing.
It's just, he's so absurd. You have to laugh. I mean, you could laugh or you could go, oh, really? You don't roll your eyes. But he's funny. And that's why I've lived with him for 42 years.
And what we're trying to come up with now that we want to let you know is a way to communicate roll your eyes through sound on a radio program. We really are working at that. And because with that comes the smell of that very thing.
Oh, come on, Errol. You see, this is absurdity. It's just absurdity.
You know, I grew up, my theater career started with the absurdists. Those are the guys I was, you know, that was when I was in college and we were doing Genet and Ionesco and Sartre and Beckett. I did Waiting for Godot, for God's sake, by Samuel Beckett. And I was one of the two characters. And at the end of that play, they sit there and one of them says, well, shall we go? And the other one says, yes, let's go. And they just sit there and the curtain comes down. Those are guys who are at the precipice because in the face of the nuclear capability, you know, it just like exploded, so to speak, to use a metaphor, all these existentialists.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them showed up in the theater. We were fortunate to have access to that stuff.
Well, you know, it's still happening. I've just been reading about the fact that artists who are seeing that the possibility of having points of view be important to find the whole. They're putting out their point of view through art. Art is a wonderful way to do it. I also read that Saturday Night Live is having a reincarnation because of Donald Trump. You can't wait to see what Baldwin's going to do next.
What did the guy from the president of CBS News say? Donald Trump is the best thing for business? Bill Moyers quoted him today about how the guy said on three different occasions, we're making so much money.
Yeah.
CBS or any of these stations, they're going nuts.
And he calls them false news.
Well, it is. It's fake news. If you
fake
think
news.
About what are we making news about?
Him.
Him. And he's a complete fake.
So that's why it's fake news.
That's right. You're a fake.
I love it. It's fake news because it's about Donald. You listen to this and pass it on.
Yeah, pass
fake
it on.
News.
Yeah.
Put it out on Twitter. Fake news is what news about Donald.
You can be fake or you can be a fakir. Do you know what that word
is? Isn't a fakir an illusionist?
Who's to say?
Who's to say the sun spins round your planet? Who's to say that you're some kind of queen bee? Who's to say that you're my social magnet? Who's to say it's not me? Who's to say my life won't get better? Who's to say I'm where I want to be. Who's to say my life's in a letter? Who's to say it's not me? Step aside, I'm not your monkey. Step outside, I'm my own VIP. Step aside, or can't you wait to see? Who's to say it's not me? Who's to say my world's through a shredder? Who's to say I'm too close to see? Who's to say I can go and get her? Who's to say it's not me? Step aside, I'm not your monkey. Step outside, I'm my own VIP. Step aside, or can't you wait to see? Who's to say it's not me? Who's to say life's a Russian roulette? Who's to say you'll leave me at sea? Who's to say that I can pose a real threat? Who's to say it's not me? Who's to say the sun spins round your planet? Who's to say that you're some kind of queen bee? Who's to say that you're my social magnet? Step aside, I'm not your monkey. Step outside, I'm my own VIP. Step aside, or can't you wait to see? Who's to say it's not me? Step aside, I'm not your monkey. Step outside, I'm my own VIP. Step aside, or can't you wait?
Who's to say? Well, that was Tom Tolkien.
Tom Tolkien.
I wonder if he's any relation to the Tolkien of Lord of the Rings, Tolkien.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he took that name because he liked it.
Before we go any further, I want to remind people of who we are. But first, since we're going to try and decide who we are, I have to ask, well, who's to say? I would be willing to be one of those who have something to say. And let me introduce you to these people out there listening, whomever you are. You've braved it this far. Jolly good young people out there staying with the Striders for almost the entire hour of the program. They are saying something that needs to be replicated, you understand? They are the thing. This is a thing. It laughs at itself. Many years ago, they took their marriage and they threw it away, and they decided to become a comedy act and not take themselves seriously at all anymore.
True.
And by and large, they've done a pretty decent job of it, which is why I like to come and visit with them, and I hope you do too and listen to them. Of course, they could use some editing, no doubt about that. And of course, they do have rather perverse views about the nature of reality, and they seem to be twisted around concepts that are no longer relevant. But other than that, they are delightful to experience. Lord Umbridge here.
That was quite funny, Lord Umbridge. You outdid yourself, but who's to say?
I don't know, but I want to know. I really want to know. Another question. What's to be said? Oh, I like that. Do you know, folks out there, that every week we do a phrase of the week, like we did I Beg Your Pardon, or Who Knew, or You Think, or got 60 of them over there. Lying on the floor wet because I am such a klutz that I tipped over water and it fell all over the pages. But the I am that's a klutz isn't the same I am as that I am. I just want to make that distinction. This is I am the klutz.
The truth is, it's not who he is as much as what he does.
I just bang into things and not seem sober.
You're like the absent-minded professor.
Well, I am the ballet dancer, literally in the china shop.
You are.
I was. My parents had a china shop, by golly. But they couldn't find a bull, but they did find a ballet dancer. And that would be me, their son, who would practice pirouettes in the only place in front of the door there. There wasn't a table full of tchotchkes.
But, but now understand what a tchotchke is. It's a bunch of little things that are really meaningless, but they're very beautiful.
And they look great in your living room, lots of them, on your tables.
But they're pretty, and beauty is and part okay. of what
yeah,
we
no,
love.
It was a good thing. But when you're 15 years old, not into that sort of thing.
No, not when you're 15. That's good. Where are you going to?
Where I was going. Well, first, let me find out who's to say. Barney, do you have something to say? Can you be who? Where are you going with that? I saw where you was heading with that. You was heading down a downhill slope into increased ignorance. You are rapidly being conveyed into far more and more ignorance because you are being thrust into more and more of the universe about which you know nothing. But you're finding out that it's out there, and you're on your way. And that's true for everybody. A way people can experience that. God is not like, could have been a businessman, but he decided not to be a businessman, God, because he figured there'd be other businessmen, be plenty of businessmen. So God decided to just, you know, well, stay being God. And that's why it's so important for people to realize that get connected with God. There is a source of your being and your life that is you, that is holding you eternally and is a great holder. I used to be a massage therapist in Brooklyn that we used to call God because, boy, could she give a massage.
But, Barney?
Yeah. Anyway, you know, like, I always wonder, though, I mean, really, who's to say? Thank you, Barney. That was good. That was good. We're always happy to get your input into our conversation.
Who's to say?
Cindy Stratton is someone who has something to say.
They say if a light shines a little too brightly, it goes out quicker than the rest. Your light shone like phosphorescent sun. just chance.
Go find Cindy Stratton's version of Who's to Say on YouTube. She's beautiful. Thank you for just being beautiful. Laughter, music, this is what I'll be passing out. That's what our show's about. And that's why I'm grateful for our good friend Jeremy Bede for sponsoring us and for the amazing two men at BBS Radio.
Oh, BBS Radio. Did you mention Raw Foods too?
And I was just on my way there.
Oh.
And I thought, while I'm on my way to Go Raw, I'll mention Raw Foods.
Okay, and
I'll say, hey, Go Raw. This is right this way. Oh, you're looking for something nutritious, tasty, you know, crunchy, good munchy? Go Raw. There you go.
I like it.
That being said, we got to wrap this up, I believe. Honey, as much as fun as this is, you know.
Yeah, you were fun.
Who's to say? Let me ask you this. What does Who's to Say tell us about what we should remember? Come on, you can
well,
do it.
Well, we should remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Who's to say? Ah, who's to say?
Who's to say?
Who's to say?
Who's to say?
Huh.